Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
I'm Emily Winter, a writer, comedian, and your host of Comedians with Ghost Stories. Podcast. I have Emily Duke. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to hear your story. It is a college ghost story.
Yes, it is.
Great.
So I went to college at a very old school that's been around since like before America in New Hampshire.
What's it called?
Dartmouth. Okay.
Heard of it.
Yeah. There's no non-obnoxious way to say it. But
I love it. You almost tried to like hide it.
Yeah. I'm like, it's just a school. Yeah. So as much as you know about Dartmouth, Dartmouth has like a very storied past, largely around the Greek system. Mm-hmm. So I was not in a Greek house, but I was in a house. So it's a co-ed undergraduate society. So it was basically like we had a frat house, but it was just like a lot of women and gay people and just chilling, and it was great.
Oh, sounds great. Yeah,
but like for the purposes of this, I'm going to describe it as if it were a frat, but I feel the need to context that like
it's not a
I'm so much cooler than the Greek system. You know, like I'm so beyond that. So the house that our organization had, as legend tells it, belonged to a doctor in the early days of the college. So like the late 1700s, early 1800s. And this doctor had a young daughter who either was gay or he thought she was gay. There was something around her sexuality. And I have heard mixed reports as to whether or not he caught her with a girl.
Okay.
He ended up locking her in the attic of the house.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
These attics, man.
Yeah. The attics is just, it's a dangerous place. But the attic was my bedroom when I was in this house. Yeah. So the old house had a cupola. I don't know if a cupola is like a thing that
what
people
is that?
Say outside. Yeah, I don't know. So it's like a spire on top of the house that's like a little room, like a very, very, very small room. Like you can maybe fit two people and like everybody wants to fuck in the cupola and it's like a thing. Yeah, it's a big moment for everyone. So the cupola is the spire above the house that has this big, you know, dome on top of it. And as legend has it, the doctor locked her up there and she hung herself in the cupola. That is the story.
Okay.
How much of that is true? TBD. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine started looking into it, and supposedly there is a record of a young girl dying in this house, and her father was a doctor, but the cause of death is listed as, quote, unidentified head trauma. But I'm also assuming that in the 1800s, they weren't like this 13-year-old girl hung herself. You know what I mean? It makes sense that the documents wouldn't have a ton of information.
Also, unidentified head trauma is terrifying. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's unidentified. Yeah. So like we don't know. So whoever lived, we called it the bunk room, which is the attic. Whoever lived in the bunk room always had experiences with the ghost. The ghost was also named Emily.
As are both our names.
So anytime you move into the bunk room, everybody in the house is like, here's the deal. Like, she's a ghost. Her go-to move is she shakes the mattress. Like, she just, like, fucks with your mattress and shakes you.
Uh-huh.
Some people that lived in the house say they tried to fuck her. Or she tried to fuck them.
Were they women?
Yes.
Cool.
So that it would be really a flaw in the whole story. Yeah. If it was like, she's like, just fucking dudes. She's come around to the other side now. Like in the afterlife, she's like really straight normative.
So wait, she's like 13?
13.
She's a horny 13-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, 13, you know, like but you're also horny at 13. And also she's really like 193 or whatever. You know what I mean? I imagine she's growing and evolving.
She's been watching people have sex in the Coppola for
like
many years.
Forever.
So
a couple of girls over the years have said that she has tried to go down on them. But mostly
like,
the reports
how
I supposedly like a very cool breeze, like somebody like with cold breath breathing on your genitals.
Okay.
That's the way it was described.
Is that nice? I don't think that's good.
I think it sounds really lovely, but it's also like the end of summer and I'm getting over like chub rub season. So the thought of like any cool breeze
down
anywhere,
there, yeah,
that just sounds
great.
Really incredible. I'm so happy for fall and just like generally having like dry thighs. Yeah. So the cool breeze on the genitals is the story. So I lived in the bunk room for 2 terms, so 6 months, and had virtually no interactions with her.
Okay. And were you wanting them?
I was a little bummed because I super bought into that this was happening. Like, there were definitely people that lived in the house that were like, these bitches are, it's just like a tradition for whoever the fuck lives in the bunk room to make up these stories. It also should be mentioned the bunk room is like one of the shittier rooms in the house. So it's normally newer members to the org. But I was super like, this is fucking happening and it's just not fucking happening to me. I also shared the room with a girl who was my friend and turns out to be a huge bitch. And the first time that Emily interacted with me was the first night that that girl shared the room with me. So the other girl was actually there. And I was just like, oh God. And we just had major Blair Serena drama our whole friendship. And it was just like really triggering. So yeah, she just shook my mattress. That's all I got. Yeah, I woke up and my mattress was... I'm gesturing. Is that helpful? Can you hear it through the sound waves? Yeah, just like a little bit of shaking on the mattress.
Did you see it?
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, you just felt it.
It was also like the middle of the night. Like all the lights were off.
Yeah.
So potentially there could have been something seeable, but it was pitch black and I was half asleep.
Awesome. So then your friend, not friend anymore, did she also have an interaction that evening?
She then in the morning obviously claimed that Emily tried to finger her. And I was like, that's not even her preferred excuse me. Like, I was like, you don't even know what's going on. And yeah, I think she was lying. I was like, because you didn't bring this up until I told you that she shook my mattress, you know?
So did you believe now, like, having that one interaction and then, like, the lore, do you believe that the stories passed down are true?
I think that the details are probably...
embellished.
Yeah, I'm sure that the details are a bit embellished and that some things aren't as they are. And I think what makes me sadder is I'm sure there are details that are amazing that are lost. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's honestly the way I
thinking
go.
There.
Yeah, I'm brill. Yeah, I just feel like I'm much more interested in the things that didn't make the cut to continue to be passed down.
Yeah. Is it still there? Do you know?
I posted in our Facebook group asking for anybody that's currently in the house living in the bunk room if anybody's having these experiences. And the youths these days, they're too busy on TikTok.
Yeah,
they didn't respond.
Yeah.
So I will follow up. I will let you know if I hear back.
Thank you.
They're not like vehemently checking the like Panarchy alumni Facebook page. Yeah, so I'm not sure.
And you also said you have a medium that you go to. So tell me about this.
So I have a medium. Let me just start there. So I've been working with her for 2-3 years.
Okay.
So I received my first session with her as a Christmas gift from my stepmother.
Okay.
So my stepmother's been working with her for like a really long time.
Okay.
This bitch is so dope. Like, she literally is just like the most confident, hilarious. Like, it's not at all what you would expect. She's like constantly cursing.
I want this.
She's incredible. Yeah, she's just like constantly cursing. She like completely absorbs your energy. Basically, as soon as you set the appointment, she kind of like meditates on you and then writes a bunch of notes.
Oh my God.
And so when you get there, she just like reads through pages and pages of notes.
How do you set the appointment? Like, do you do it over email? Does she hear your voice? Okay.
No. And she does do remote sessions, which I feel like is a little weird, but she says it where I was like, evidently ghosts are really good at technology, which like makes sense. Cause they're always like coming out of TVs.
Yeah.
So the craziest thing, what completely bought me into this was in the first appointment, my cousin, her father died about 6 years ago.
Okay.
My cousin, right before I went to my first appointment, got a television show on the Food Network that's like a cupcake
amazing
show. Yeah, it was amazing.
What show is it?
It was called Reality Bites.
Okay.
It had one season. Yeah, quick plug.
Who's your cousin?
Ashley Foxen.
Okay.
She's like a baker. So they do like cupcakes that look like other foods.
Amazing.
Yeah, super fun. And like her mom, sister, and brother were all on the show. It was great. So I'm sitting down for the appointment and she's like, okay, I see a woman and who appears to be her husband and a younger man that like they're both elderly and like a younger man. And I was like, that sounds like my grandmother, grandfather, and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, and I honestly like, she was like, this is the weirdest fucking thing that's ever happened to me. But the younger man is handing me a cupcake and giving me a thumbs up. I just got goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
And
my
I was
God.
Like, what the fuck? And like, I don't share a last name with her. Like, there's no reason. There's no way she could have known any of this. So, yeah, that was like the first thing she said to me when I sat down.
Holy smokes.
And I was like, ah! Yeah. So that was really intense. I feel like that's the most like traditional meeting me thing that has happened. Cause normally it's much more like she speaks to like energies and like what you're supposed to be doing and like, it's all about your people, which is basically like your congregation of dead people that like okay. support you and know you. And it's all like what these people think you should be doing.
Do you feel like it's, I want this so badly.
I will introduce you. She's amazing.
Do you feel like it's, how much is a session?
Ridiculously expensive.
Okay.
I think it's like,
I'm going to ask
$275.
For this. $275. Okay. I'm going to ask for this as my Christmas present from my really, entire family.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. She does like rush sessions that are like $150 more.
We don't want that.
Yeah, just being like, no, I really need to talk to a dead person right now.
That are more okay.
No, it's like God. If you need to talk to me like this week.
And so you feel like it's helped you? Do you feel like it's helped you like career wise and like creatively and like?
Oh, 100%. Well, okay. So I should also mention that she lives in my dad's old apartment.
Whoa.
We found, like, my stepmother did not know my dad when he lived there,
okay.
but knew that he lived in that general area. And after she started going, told my dad where it was. And he was like, I used to live in that building. Like, which apartment is it? And it's literally, like, my dad's unit. And she also reached out to my stepmom and was like, people are trying to find you, which, like, sounds really predatory and aggressive. But, like,
why were they... So she reached out to your stepmom.
I believe so. It may have been an introduction. Like there was like people energy.
Whoa.
Yeah. That like needed to get through.
Oh my God.
She's amazing.
So you go to her home?
I go to her home. Yeah.
Did she ever talk to you about how, like where this gift came from, how she hones it, how she works?
Yeah. So she basically says it's like she's an extreme empath. So also a lot of what she does is talk about like you, which is like the most helpful thing creatively that she can possibly do.
Yeah, this sounds like therapy on steroids.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's basically she's talking about like what these people see in you and what you should be focusing on. Like she was the one, she turned me on to The Artist's Way. She was the one that like told me I should be pursuing comedy in a much more serious way. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, she like did all of that. Honestly, I probably would not have started doing comedy more seriously had it not been for that appointment, like 100%. And she like really crystallizes like what you should be talking about and like where your focus should be.
Oh
she's
God.
Amazing.
I need her to tell me what screenplay to write.
Yeah, she can super do that. And what was the question?
Oh, like how does she talk about how she works or yeah.
So yeah, so she says she's had this forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that she spent a lot of time trying to like close it off basically because she says it's more of a feeling. She was like, they're not communicating with me in words really.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, it's much more like I can feel their energy and I kind of embody them.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me a story about just being an empath. She identifies it as she is an empath for both people on this plane and in the next.
Okay.
And so she can connect those energies because she feels both. So she told me a story about she saw someone a couple of weeks before me and she was like, and I just really wanted to like feel pain before I saw this girl. Like I just like, and she was like, and I went out and got like four things pierced and it was like so extreme. And I just like, it was so overwhelming and I didn't know why. And then she came in and told me that she was trying to quit cutting. Yeah. So like, that's the kind of shit where she's like, I didn't really like, she was like, I can just feel everybody's shit all the time. And it's very intense and very extreme. And I can feel people even after they've left this plane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She's amazing.
I love it.
She's incredible.
Oh man. What other things have you learned from her?
I mean, yeah, a lot of it is just sort of these like kitschy, like tiny little moments. I think something that I thought was really interesting is largely she was just talking about my mom's side of the family and both my dad's parents had passed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't really saying anything. She was like, some people are just more vocal and more aggressive than others.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend's mom had passed away shortly before I went. And, you know, I didn't have a super close relationship with him or her. We didn't grow up together. We went to college together. So I didn't know her super well, but she came and my medium was like, there is a like fat black woman here who just entered the room. But she's telling me that she's just presenting as fat, so you'll recognize her. But she wants you to know that everybody's thin in the afterlife. And I was like, Greg. And she was like, yeah, so if you can tell her son that, like, she's super thin now, that would be great. And that, like, weight bias isn't an issue for people. And I was like, okay, amazing.
So what? Okay, that is hilarious. And also, it makes me think, like, what? Yeah, so she believes in an afterlife, like, yeah, in a way of, God, it's so hard because I think like the idea of, like, living in death to infinity, yeah, is terrifying and bad.
Yeah. And well, she's very aggressive about past lives also. So she has identified my past lives.
What was some it? Of them.
So interestingly, my astrologer, I also have an astrologer, told me something very
this
similar.
This is what happens when you grow up in Manhattan, yeah, by the
this
way.
Is the whole thing. So in a past life, she was like, you were definitely rich. And also your father, she said my father ran away and that I was like a noble of some kind. She was like, you're old school America, like very waspy, like forever. Like your soul has been in New England for a really long time. Okay. And I was like, thank you. I went to Dartmouth. I'm like super, super waspy. And yeah, so she was like, you were definitely a noble, but your father ran away and your mother was sick and you spent like one of your past lives that you're remedying on this plane, taking care of your mom and taking care of like the whole family, which you had very little ability to do because you were like a woman in the 1800s. And then I had a conversation with my astrologer and she gave me a relatively similar narrative when I told her I was having problems with my friends. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just realizing that like some of my friends are shitty people and mm-hmm. that's hard to confront. And she was like, oh yeah, well in a past life, you've always been like very regal and they were your handmaids. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, and then I was like, those bitches have Emmys. Fuck them. No. yeah. But yeah, similar. Like I was like super rich in a past life. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the way she says it, she's like, your soul never expires. It just like moves into different areas. I was a little confused about how that meant that like this people, I was like, where are this people?
Yeah.
If they're just like rotating through lives. She wasn't so, like, super clear on that.
Can you be in two places at once, I guess?
I guess. Or I think you take like a rest in between. Because she was like, the body and the life that you're having is like waiting for you. Like when that is created, mm-hmm. then your soul is like assigned to it. So it's basically like purgatory, I guess. But supposedly it's very pleasant. They're like very happy.
A fun purgatory where everybody's skinny.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a waiting room at like a liposuction clinic. yeah, it's... I guess it's like just waiting for the next iteration of your life. And also the way she talks about it, and my astrologer for that matter, past lives are all, or like your current existence is all about remedying things in past lives. And that's what you're like, quote unquote, supposed to do. So what? Like my best friend whose mom passed away also saw my medium. And fun fact, my medium liked him so much more than me. And I was really hurt.
Wait, did she say?
Oh my God, I was so upset. So I think of myself as like super interesting, obviously. and so we like have our normal session, whatever. And I've seen her, you know, a dozen times at this point. And I brought my best friend. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, in the car to the medium, he looks at me and he's like, I'm really nervous. And I asked him why. And he was like, I'm just really scared that Gemma's going to tell me I'm a ghost. Of course you are. Perfect. So yeah, so I go down, I'm like waiting in the park outside of her apartment while he goes in, and he basically comes out and he was like, we cried together the whole time. And as soon as I walked in, she was like, I met Emily like to meet you. Like we were like destined to meet. And I was like, so I'm just this like,
you're just this thoroughfare, whatever, yeah, is that the right word? I don't know. Yeah, just like
I'm just this like brick in your means to meet him. So I haven't been back since then. I will go back because I do love her, but I was a little like, God damn it. You have a more interesting connection with my medium.
Wow.
And that's very us. He's like, I remember I bought us both the same scarf and we were both like, I had it tied around my bag and he was wearing it on his head, I think. And somebody like ran across the street to compliment it. And I was like, and I was like, I'm
also wearing the scarf.
And I bought it. And oh my God. Fuck you. Like, that's our narrative. That's our friendship. So
that's really
it
funny.
It made perfect sense that my medium preferred him.
Oh my God. Holy smokes. Do you have any other medium stories that you want to tell before we...
Okay.
Before I do my
God, no. I think
comedy question. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with her. And I'm afraid to meet her because I'm not interesting. I'm just like...
You could have been very interesting in a past life.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about for 1 second. So we're all just here to fix old things. Like, what? That seems very...
Yeah. So she said that he and I have had our souls connected through our past lives.
Oh my God.
And she was basically like, it's like a figure eight where it's like you meet in some lives and you're apart in others, but you continue to like find each other.
Oh
yeah,
that's really sweet. Did she say anything about that for like your husband or
no? She hasn't met my husband. I don't think she knows I'm married. I don't bring it up a ton.
Okay.
My astrologer, we have a scheduled couples reading to do our natal charts together.
Cool.
Which I think will make a little bit more sense. Because I'm more focused on career stuff with this people.
Yeah.
I think astrology is better for romantic, obviously.
But it's also like, obviously, relationships are work. I feel like I found my person. Cool. Now I need to sell a goddamn script. You know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, I'm not bringing up my husband in life, and right. Like my best friend, who I keep talking about, is also my creative partner in a lot of ways, and like kind of my muse. So like, it's much more of an active. Not that like our relationship needs more maintenance, but it's like we're writing shit together, working, and we're doing shit together, yeah. And like my husband, it's like, okay, we're talking about doing a 30 Rock podcast, like because we like want to talk sometimes. Like he was like, I feel like we need to have a podcast if I'm ever gonna see you, and I was like. Probably.
That's so funny and cute. Okay, so because this is Comedians with Ghost Stories, I've been asking everyone, what is the scariest thing in comedy?
The scariest thing in comedy?
Either now or generally.
Besides, like, people whipping their dicks out.
love it.
The scariest thing, like, okay. Ugh, God, the scariest thing in comedy. I think it's just that, like, it's very fleeting and very inconsistent. So it's like,
yes.
I kind of always had it in my head of like, okay, like you're going to get this thing and then you're going to be done. And I feel like as I'm progressing, I'm constantly reminded that like people's careers are up and down. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I was talking to who I think of as a incredibly famous and prolific comic. Like I would kill for her career. And she feels terrible about her fucking career. She's like, my agent like cares more about her other clients, like whatever, like,
yeah,
it's just fucking constant. And when you think you have a break,
you don't.
So just like embarking on like a never-ending story,
yes,
of rejection and pain is probably the scariest part of comedy. I don't know if that's scary or just like deeply depressing.
I love it. It actually just made me feel really seen. Really good.
Great.
Like a kindred spirit. I'm like, you know, you get something, you know, whatever, one step forward, three steps back. That's constantly with comedy. And it's terrifying because I'm a person who's tied my self-worth to my work.
100%. And also that is like a very capitalist notion. And it's largely just like when people ask like, who are you? Like, what do? People say their jobs. You know what I mean? But it's like, I saw some, I don't know. I feel like it was an interview or like maybe just like a weird PSA about like how capitalism has ruined us all. But it's like there are other places where people say, what do? And the answer to that question might be like, my hobbies. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like we are defined by our productivity in so many ways.
Yes.
And like, it's really, I'm like, I want to take a fucking like 2 month break. And it's like, okay, that's not a fucking option because I'm 30 years old and I'm basically dead. And like, I can't like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm like, I haven't been doing this long enough. I don't have time to take a break. Like, whatever. It's
I know.
Awful.
And I get
it's terrifying.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Let's do something more positive. Tell me, before we wrap up, just tell me something that you've done in comedy that you're really proud of or that is coming up that you're excited about. Yeah.
Besides all those scripts that my Medium says I'm going to sell. I'm just going to put the networks out that my Medium senses should buy my scripts. Something I would say my web series, because I've brought them up again. Maddie, my best friend, we have a web series called Garbage People. We're in season 2 right now. I'm super proud of what's come out, and I'm super excited for what's coming out.
Cool. Yeah. Congratulations.
So Garbage People. Thank you.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Emily Duke, haha. That's it.
.com or on Instagram?
At Emily Dukaha on Instagram. And I just got a Twitter like a month ago because I'm a comedian who didn't have a Twitter, which is really humiliating. I'm just more visual person.
No, I get it. I mean, I've just started to put some work into Twitter competitively because my husband just got more followers than me it in my face. So
yeah, that's fucked up.
Now that Facebook's like disappearing, basically, I feel like we need, I mean, I think that there's like a resurgence of how much industry is putting on our numbers for Twitter.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, please follow me on Twitter. I tweet not that frequently, but it's totally worth it.
Wait, what's your, did you say your?
It's at Emily Dukaha on both Instagram and Twitter.
Great.
And then all my shows and stuff are at emilydukecomedy.com.
Great. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Emily Duke. This has been a tale of three Emilys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I really hope you liked it. I'm obsessed with these stories and these people. If you enjoyed it, you maybe should come to our live show. We're doing a live show of Comedians with Ghost Stories on Halloween night at 9:30 at Caveat. You can go to caveat.nyc to get a ticket. Also, if you enjoyed this, you can kick us a couple bucks. Just Venmo me at Emily-Winter. What that does is it helps pay for my Podomatic Pro account, which is a little pricey, and I need it for all the downloads. So thank you so much for supporting this podcast. I really do appreciate it. You can find me, Emily Winter, at emilywintercomedy.com and on Instagram and Twitter at Emily McWinter. That's Emily MC Winter because my middle name is McKenna. Anyway, keep listening. I hope you liked it. And have a great day. Oh my gosh. That was a dumb ending. Okay. But like, okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay.